Is this still on? We're on. Okay. So, upcoming this week, if you found a bulletin, nice colorful bulletin, pretty much tells you everything that's coming up. We'll just highlight a few things. Men's Bible study. The guys to come to, now I hear some more. Men's Bible study, Monday evening at 6. Prayer meeting at 7 here on Wednesday. So I encourage all that can come to that. Want to say a special thanks for everybody that helped with Soup for Souls. And it was, a time to, as we said, it's not just a free lunch. And it really proved not to be. There were many offerings given in support of Operation Christmas Child, Samaritan's Purse. Anybody want to take a guess what it was? You'll never guess. Oh, you can't guess because it's in the bulletin. Well, I would have given a prize, huh? Well, anyway, it was over $1,000, $1,110.56. Isn't that something? Then we have a couple other opportunities. Yes, amen. Thank you, Lord, and thank you for obedient hearts. A couple upcoming opportunities, and one of them is a little blue announcement in your bulletin. The testimony of a local couple, Butch and Linda Calcott, they are going to be presenting this Tuesday, the 29th. So there's some information about that, sharing their testimony, and that is at the Andover Alliance Church, right? The 22nd. Whoa. Oh, I see what I'm getting at. Yes. Now we jump to the next one. Tuesday the 29th is the next item. So this first one, March 22nd at the Andover Alliance Church. That's Butch and Linda. And then Tuesday the 29th, Dr. David Ireland, keynote speaker at a night of ministry. That will be up at Elam Gospel Fellowship in Lima, New York. And just a little information about Dr. Ireland. He planted and pastors Christ Church in New Jersey. It's a church body made up of over 70 nationalities. And this brother has a special gift for understanding the value of diversity in the body of Christ. So is that one in the bulletin? Yes, that is. It's on the flip side. So you can keep both of those in your bulletin as reminders. And that's all the announcements I have. And we can have a couple of guys come and help me with the offering. Maybe Eric will come. And let's see. Hey, Carl, you up to walking? Want to come help us take the offering? How you doing? All right. You take one. You take one. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us, even as we sang, Lord, you are faithful. You're our provider. And you've provided so well for this church, Father, and for us as individuals. We pray your blessing on this offering and to the direction in its use. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Shay, I'm going to turn it right over to you because I'll meet those guys. Yes. Amen.
Everybody, I'm quite happy to be here. A little update. Some of you have been praying for Natasha, who works at Rahema Home, but had gone home on furlough to the Ukraine, and she and her parents and sister have all gotten out. The last update I had was a picture of the sky in Warsaw, Poland, with a rejoicing that it was peaceful. So every time I've looked at the sky this week, I've been astounded that I've never been in a circumstance other than a thunderstorm, which isn't much, you know, where the sky can be anything other than peaceful. So she's out. The next step is to get them to Kenya. But Poland is a big step in the right direction. So thank you for praying. my son, I think that's probably good, Harrison. Great job. You'll notice that he brought the lights down. It's because I've got some pictures, and we upgraded to new LEDs, which are great, but really bright. So he brought them down so that we can see some of the pictures that I have for you today. And Adam is kindly, I gave him a pretty detailed PowerPoint. So we're all working together as a team this morning. Thank you, Harrison. So God tells us that we're one body. That sounds so nice, but do you know that in Christianity, there's more factions and more divisions than any other religion on the face of the earth? We have the one true God, the one who says that we're one in him with one spirit, and yet we're more divided. There are more lines between us than there are points of connection. And so it sounds nice, but the reality of it sometimes is a little confusing to me. So we're going to explore it a little bit today, if that would be all right. All right, Adam, we're looking at Romans 12. See, that picture's bright. It's still the same little body. Hopefully the next pictures will be great. Harrison, if not, I'll send you back upstairs to put us all in the dark, okay? All right. So this is from Romans 12. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the others. This is the same passage of scripture that if you were to look at it in context, would talk about these different gifts. There's the gift of prophecy, the gift of service, the gift of teaching, encouragement, giving, leading, showing mercy. Now, I'm going to pause here. Does anybody recognize that this is not that different from what Pastor Dave had preached that pretty recently, right? And so if you're like me, I'm just going to be very honest with you. Sometimes I don't roll my eyes outwards because that would be a bad example for my kids. But inside, I'm like, again? We're hearing this message again? And so yes, actually you are. I think God has given me a perspective and maybe even something to teach you that will give you a bit different context or maybe a different lens. But yeah, we're talking about it again. So if you will hang with me, I would appreciate it. Next slide, Adam. Ephesians chapter 3. We're talking about Paul here. He's talking about the mystery of Christ, saying, you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations as it has been revealed now by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. Verse 6, this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. We're going to talk in just a little bit at length, well, abbreviated length, about how critical the oneness of the body of Christ is to the promises that are spoken, not just to us individually, but to the body of Christ. And I think Paul got that. If you look at the entirety of his written ministry, he was emphatic that Jesus came first for Jew, then for Gentile, but for all of us, right? It's in Romans chapter 1, the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First the Jew, then the Gentile. And he messed up all sorts of cultural things by making this declaration. And yet he did it because this was the revelation that God gave to him. To know Christ means to be one. To know Christ doesn't mean to think about being one. It means to be living as one body. And so what on earth might that mean? And then there is, Adam, you can move on, this great big passage in 1 Corinthians 12. If you're looking in the future, you'll want to look at all of the verses 12 through 27. It is the passage of scripture that says, like, some are made to be the hands, some are made to be the feet. Can the hand say to the foot, I don't need you? Of course not, right? This entire passage of scripture, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit to form one body. And so I don't want to this I've got to be careful to not make it sound like to you like I'm trying to criticize Paul. But I have taken this passage of scripture, and I have heard it, and it might not just be me. God's made me to be a hand. Great. I will serve. I really hope that foot gets its act together. Right? Because really all I'm responsible for is me, and I'm the hand, and I can serve, and this is just what I do. But I think that there's something more here. In addition to this, not in opposition to it, but to really dig into this, Adam, go ahead and leave that where it is right now. To dig into this, we've got to do a little bit of learning. So this morning, if you would be willing to join me, we're going to do a little bit of loving God with our minds, some teaching and kind of opening up our thoughts such that he can awaken something deeper inside of our soul to love him well. So if you'll join me, that's what we're going to do. And to do this, I thought I would take you to school. Would that be all right? So we're going to have a little lesson today. My son here is my office manager, and he hopefully won't go rogue, but he's going to tell us when school begins, and school has begun. School's in session. So he'll let us know when it's time to change classes. Now, since I get to set up the school schedule today, we're going to start with the big guns, all right? We're jumping into cellular biology, level 401. Yes. Yes, let's rejoice. Don't worry, it's not all science today, but that's where we're going to begin, all right? Hey, by the way, does anybody know what the difference is between a regular student and an honors student? No, not necessarily. Actually, the regular student, when a teacher comes in and says hello, the students say hello, and in an honors class, the teacher comes in and says hello, and the students write it down. As a former honors student, it's kind of true. And so I'm going to be throwing information at you, but it is not so that you learn the information and can repeat it. So those of you who are jotting down notes, I encourage you to hear me when I tell you don't get overwhelmed with the details. We're going to work together to get to a point that's really about Jesus, and that's what we need to carry out of here. Okay? All right, don't be honors students today. So, Adam, next slide. Here we are, cellular biology, and go ahead and go to the next one. So, this is a single cell. It is actually what's called a zygote, which is the first cell of a human being. All right, so this is a fertilized cell, a single cell, at which point, when it exists as a single cell, it has all the DNA it will ever have. Every genetic expression that will ever form or ever develop in you is expressed in that one cell. Everything. One cell. So how then, go ahead, Adam, we're going to go through the next slides. How then does that one cell begin to look so different and function so different, so such that it becomes bone? Yes, Adam, go ahead. A nerve cell. Yep. Muscular cells. Skin cells. Red blood cells, not white, red, yeah, or donuts, yes, of course, or donuts. Red blood cells, and Adam. Or everybody's favorite, this is adipose tissue, also known as fat. Yes, thank you. So yeah, donuts, right? I've got my peanut gallery here in the front row. And so this question of how does this singular cell that has all of the DNA, of course, but become all of those things? Become you and me that walks and talks and thinks and breathes and moves, plus all of the functions that we never even actively think about. How does that happen? Well, it's through a process. Again, you don't have to be honor students. Through a process called cellular differentiation. Go ahead, Adam. So how does one thing become many? And those of you who are maybe not making the jump yet, when Jesus comes into your life, you are infused with the entirety of his DNA. Just like a female reproductive cell and a male reproductive cell come together, two pieces come together, and the entirety is there. And yet, how do we look so different? We are in a charismatic body. And I have brothers and sisters in this very town who are in very liturgical settings, who maybe have even come to some different doctrinal conclusions. Are they actually my brother? Am I actually that one body with them? What about those that maybe are in a different place politically? What about those who have different race? Like my brother Carl is here. Are we actually the same body? Because our histories might be different. What Jesus has taught us might be different. How can it be that that one cell has become many? And do we actually have to live together? Do we actually have to work together? I say yes, but not just because it's God's promise and purpose, but because the fulfillment of what God wants to do in us only happens when we're together. Only happens when we're together. Okay? So we're going to talk a little bit about cellular differentiation. Go ahead, Adam. Again, no need to be on our students. So we've got a single cell, that zygote, that's what I showed you. It reproduces itself entirely. It doesn't split into two halves. It reproduces to be identical. And we've got two cells, and then four, and then eight. And then 72 hours after conception, there's a little grouping of cells. All of those cells at this point look identical. Absolutely identical. They have the entirety of the DNA. They look the same. There is nothing different. And then something magical happens between 72 hours and 5 days. Can those of you over here see that with this? do you guys see how the shape, can you guys see over here? The shape of that thing called a blastocyst is a little bit different, right? That tiny change at 5 days of conception, after conception, is what starts to form into the human body. But how? How do things start to change? Adam, I'm not sure if I've got the next one up there. Go ahead. No, go ahead and go back. That's all right. So how do those cells become you and me? And so what happens is this incredible process that built into the DNA of that zygote, which will become an embryo very shortly, right? These are just scientific words for human life, all of its human life. It's built into the DNA within the cells to start to turn genes on and off. It's almost as if you've got a series of code, and the cell that's built into the DNA starts to say, this is what we need to start to express here for this purpose. And so what the cells become has to do with where they end up being positioned within that morula, which becomes a blastocyst. All the same, but where they're planted forms what they become. Okay, so I took 2 semesters of cellular biology, and in 2 semesters we got through the first 15 weeks of gestation. So I'm giving you the very condensed version. So if you're curious, go learn. There is so much information out there. Go to Khan Academy or even TED Talks. There's just fantastic information that is meant to be consumed, not necessarily by the academic, but by the common man. So I know you're like, wait, I've got some questions. That's because we can't cover it all here. But the point is, what these cells become has to do with where they're planted. Okay? And so I would like to suggest that what you have become in the body of Christ has to do with where you're planted. It's not because you have a better form or a more truthful form of Jesus' DNA in you. It's because of where he's planted you and the purposes that he is rising you up to fulfill, right? And so in this process, the cells, first it becomes what will be the skin, and then the digestive tract looks almost like if you were to be able to elongate a donut, right? This is how it starts to look. And then within there, the heart begins to form, the bone structure begins to form, the organs begin to form, the vascular system, and it becomes a body, right? Not many, but one. So that was fun. It's time to change classes. Perfect. I thought about bringing a bell, but all that we had was either this or a bicycle horn, and boy, is that thing abrasive. So trust me that we're going somewhere to put these together. All right? So we're going to another class. This is Linguistics 101. I have been very grateful for those of you that have been encouraging about our upcoming trip to Kenya. We've had a lot of success. We're almost at like the 50% mark as far as raising money, which is a pretty big celebration in 2 weeks. And one of the things that I'm doing to prepare is learning a little bit of Swahili. Yeah, which sounds wonderful. And I can confidently say to you, wewe si nyanya, which means I am not a tomato. So I'm feeling really great about being able to use that. I'm not learning a whole lot, but I do have something to share with you. All right, Adam, go ahead and pop up the next thing. So in English, yep, again. In English, this is over on the left, we have singular. I, you, one person, he, right? Singular, one person. And on the right, we have plural. We, multiple people. You, a group of people. They, a group. Yes? Tracking so far. And in English, if we're going to talk about eating, because why not? I love eating. Let's talk about it. I eat. You eat. That's kind of the same word for us. All right. He, she eats. Ooh, it's plural. But we go back to singular. We eat. You all eat. Or you guys. Or y'all. Or whatever you want to say. Plural. They eat. There's really no difference between the noun and what becomes of the verb, right? Go ahead, Adam. In Swahili, any of you who have ever taken a foreign language, this would not be news. You got to learn this thing called conjugation, which is so weird because we just don't do it in English. We have this word. The verb is the verb. It doesn't change. Not true. So in Swahili, mimi, ninakula, this means I eat. Wewe, unakula, yeye, anakula, and so on. Adam, go ahead and click to the next one. And what this means is that even if you, again, linguistics, if you're like, wait, cellular biology, we changed classes. Ready? In linguistics, what this means is that even if you drop the noun, you still know who's getting spoken about. Do you see that? So if I were to go to Kenya and look at somebody in the middle of a meal and say, ninakula, I'm saying to them, I eat, even if I don't use the word I, because of verb conjugation, right? Adam, go ahead and click the next. But today, for the purpose of linguistics in my class, we're just going to focus on this middle group here, you. So in English, you, singular, one person, you, Harrison, you, Judy, you, Luann, you eat. And plural, you eat. Oh, in English, it's the same. Adam, go ahead and go to the next one. And this poses a bit of a conundrum when it comes to reading scripture. Okay? The problem is that in our modern English language, we don't really have any different word to distinguish a promise for you, or you, or you. Right? And so there are things that still can be true for the individual in scripture, but that are lost when we, in our Western society, like lone ranger spirit that we have, don't realize that there are times that the word of God is speaking to the body of Christ, not just to the individual. Yes? All right. I got ahead of myself. Let's see. Okay, Adam, go ahead to the next one. Oh, I must have accidentally gotten rid of it. Here's the interesting thing. In just even a couple hundred years ago, in I forget what the word is that I'm looking for, but the English that would have been spoken by King James, yes? Do you know how many words there are for you? There's eight. Eight different words for you. Not to mention the fact that the ancient languages have this thing of conjugation, where even if something gets lost in the you, in the noun, it still is clear in the verb. Does that make sense? All right, so that's linguistics. Can you hang with me? I know it seems, I always went to school, and it really wasn't until adulthood that I started to see how the classes weren't just separate classes and fit together. I wish I could have gotten it then. So hang with me, because I'm promising something. Beautiful. Thank you, Harrison. I'm glad he has not decided it's time to change classes when I'm not ready, because I'm trusting him with a lot here. So a little bit of church history. So we're looking, this is like church history in 3 minutes. So we're going fast, all right? And this is where you get to look at some pictures. 1500s through the early 1600s. All right, Adam. This is actually 1440. Does anybody know who this is? Gutenberg. This is the printing press. So it was kind of dreamed up, birthed in Germany. Yes? It took a while to spread throughout Europe and become commonplace for printed word to be shared. So this is 1440 into the early 1500s. Next. 1517. This is Martin Luther. The Catholic Church is the church. It's pretty much the church in all of England, right? And he has some concerns. I see them adhering to scripture, except for this whole thing where they're saying we have to earn our salvation. I'm concerned about this. So he writes it down, and he nails it to the door with the intent of seeing restoration come to the body of Christ. And truth, what they were living, lining up with what he was seeing in scripture. Unfortunately, that's not how it was received. And so they excommunicated him and everybody else who had a copy, because people had taken it, and the printing press made it available to have lots of copies. And so there was this whole movement of people, and it was called the Reformation, right? Reformed ideas about scripture. Now, when all of this is happening in these small pockets of people are reading scripture differently and asking themselves, is what I'm reading and what I've been taught the same? And God help me to rectify the two. Go ahead. We have these three people. Anybody? You know Harrison? The Eighth, yes. That's King Henry the Eighth, yes. Bloody Mary, yes. So Queen Mary, which is his daughter, the second to inherit the throne. He had a child king. And then Queen Elizabeth, yes. So they're half-sisters, right? And their reign extends throughout the 1500s. And there is all sorts of stuff happening. 58,000 people, not because of war, but executed between the three of them, 58,000 people, because of this tension that's happening within the church. Yes, yeah, yeah. And even though Bloody Mary gets a bad rap, they kind of all made a mess. So this is what's happening politically. Go ahead, Adam. There is a tremendous amount of advancement in mathematics and science. This is Galileo, yeah. And so he comes in and starts saying, wait, I think everything centers around the sun. The church is not happy about that, so more division, right? And Adam next. Who's this handsome fellow? Yeah, Shakespeare, very good. Also alive at the same time. I've learned so much this week, I never could synthesize all the information. Just like in scripture, something amazing happened to me in like my late 20s when suddenly I could see the word of God is one story and not just these other like little pockets of stories. I did not get it. And then when I did, oh man, something beautiful started to happen. So same here. Yes, this is Shakespeare. He, by the way, is informed by new translations of the Bible have been written in this time, and he's informed by like what would be considered the commoner's Bible. Adam, one more. And this is Oxford, right? Also founded in this time. So education and academia is on the rise, right? And yet, everything in the land is pretty divided, pretty volatile. There's a king in Scotland. He happens to be King James VI, and he, when Queen Elizabeth dies, is the one that he happens to be like ancestress relationship to King Henry VIII. So he inherits the throne in England. Go ahead, Adam. So this is King James. Yes, this is the same King James in which the pilgrims left England and came and settled here. This is during his reign. He inherits a messed up situation. People are divided. People might even be more divided there than they are here. Just saying, it could get worse. And he tries to figure out what to do. And so there's a lot of upset about these different interpretations of scripture, right? A lot of upset. And so he gets some people together to figure out what are we going to do? There's plenty of historical evidence that he was not a great king. But this, if it wasn't a good strategy, it was used by the hand of God, okay? So here we are. He brought together some people. It was sort of offhandedly suggested, we need one Bible. And the person who suggested thought, we need my Bible, the one that I prefer. But instead, King James heard, great, let's make one Bible. So there were 54 translators. 4 were college presidents, 6 were bishops, 5 were deans, 30 held PhDs, 39 held master's degrees, 41 were university professors, 13 masters in Hebrew, 10 masters in Greek. Every man involved believed in the verbal inspiration of the scriptures, the deity of Jesus, and were men of prayer. Okay, so the King James Bible, it takes 7 years to produce and comes out, go ahead, Adam, in 1611. All right, and interestingly, again, Adam, you can go forward. One more. It has representation of all of these uses of the word you. And so before you think that I'm in some camp that says, therefore, let's pick up our King James and not explore other versions, I'm just curious if anybody actually knows the difference between all of those. Yeah, no, me neither. So it's wonderful to dig into scripture with King James, but our language is still lacking something. We lose something, all right? And so again, just to reemphasize, Adam, I'm not saying that I would like to uphold King James above everything else. There are some groups that would say that. That's not what I'm saying here. So, class for this part. Dismissed. And we're going to put it all together. All right, I know those of you that are looking at the clock, we had a rich time of worship. Thank you, Randy, for leading that. And I'm still going to do my best to get you out of here close to noon. So, kind of, yes, I know. But I understand we get a little anxious. But Mary's ready. She's such an encouragement to me. She really is. So, we're going to bring this all together. All right, you've now become experts in cellular biology. You have become, yes, congratulations to you. We have been able to look at a little bit of linguistics and understand in modern English what we lose, and also understand, because it's kind of interesting, this little bit of history that has led us to, we have some translations in English, but even so, language is lost for you and for me. And so we're going to look at what has happened when it comes to the oneness of the body of Christ because of those things. All right? So go ahead, Adam. So as we're looking at the body, a single body, all of these different body systems have formed from the DNA of one, right? Have become many. One has become many and is held together. Scripture tells us from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. In fact, another piece of that same passage, if you want to look it up later, we're looking at Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Christ gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers to equip the body for works of service, yes, which is like we know that, but also so that the body of Christ, the one body, may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith. And the knowledge of the Son of God becomes mature, right? That's what I long for. I don't know about you, but I want, sometimes I feel like I'm floundering, honestly. Like, I've got these truths, I have this information. Sometimes I feel like I'm applying it, sometimes not. Sometimes I'm just confused, in part because of divisions around me, in part because of my own struggles or my own flesh, and yet I crave this kind of maturity. And yet, when I have read this scripture, what I have applied in my own life is to singular you. Shay, you must become mature in Christ. That this is how I'm going to see the fulfillment of this piece of God's word. And while that is true and applicable, it can't happen in a vacuum. You cannot have, so you know the hand can function, right? But do you know how many millions of cells are in this one hand, right? Like the bone, the blood, the tissue, the skin, the nails. There's, and that's just this hand. You know, we're talking about a heart that has to push that blood, lungs that have to take in oxygen, transfer it to the heart, move it throughout the body. I don't think it would be reasonable to say one single cell has to become mature for things to function correctly. Instead, the million of them do, together, have to be raised up in maturity, have to go from being a zygote to that blastocyst to a body, one, together, functioning together. And then you will no longer be infants. Instead, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Christ, to him who is the head, right? It's beautiful that in development, the first organ to really develop is the heart and the brain, because the brain then can teach all the cells what to turn on, what to turn off, how to develop, how to be used, where to go, yeah? Colossians 1, 17 and 18, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. So my role in the body of Christ, one cell, is just as important as yours, and ultimately all is under the headship of Christ. We know this, right? This is not new. But for me, when I start to think of the body instead of just a hand, a foot, parts that require discretion and covering, if I start to think of it like I'm a cell, ooh, we together might be the lymphatic system or the vascular system. I got to work with you. I have got to work with you to become the body. And if not, here's what's happening, or here is what happens. Go ahead, Adam. We become this fantastic specimen to look at. I don't know if anybody out here has ever gone to like the Body Worlds exhibit. It's amazing if you have the opportunity. These are not my pictures, but I have seen it, in which people who have donated their body to science, somebody has taken the different systems and displayed them, been able to put them on display in a way where you can see just that system. And it's fascinating to look at the muscles working. This is just the muscular system and ligature holding it together. But it's useless. It's useless for anything other than an academic exercise where we get to admire it. This is not a body that can function. Go ahead, Adam. These are not lungs that can function. They're beautiful. They're fascinating. It's fun to look at them. I mean, for me, maybe you're disgusted. I'm sorry if you are. It's really fun for me to look at these, but they can't fulfill the function that they were supposed to. Yes, Adam, go ahead. Same with the nervous system. Oh boy, if the nervous system could say, I have a special value in the body because I'm most connected to the brain. It's true, it is most connected. And yet its function is just as necessary as any other system. The ones that we can see that are obvious, down to the tiny, minute little details that you and I probably don't even know the names of these parts of the body, right? Even the kidney. Oh my goodness, I think I spent 4 months studying the kidney in college, and I still don't even know a whole lot about it, right? It's amazing, the details. Go ahead, Adam. This is a vascular system, just within the torso. It's beautiful, and it's fascinating, and these things are incredible, but this is not a body. And I am suggesting to you that until we realize that when God says one body, one, until we realize that and start living it, not, I mean, within this body, absolutely, it's so critical, and this is a great place to practice, but I need my Catholic brothers and sisters. I need my libertarian and democratic brothers and sisters. I need my black and my brown brothers and sisters. I need them, not just so that they do a good job and I can celebrate it, but the one body of Christ gets raised up when all the parts, the many parts, are working together. Otherwise, it's just a fun academic exercise, something to study, but not something alive. And that's not ever what God intended. So I'm not going to read all of these to you. I'm giving these for those of you who do like notes. This can be your honors class moment. Second person plural promises in the body of Christ that we often will apply to ourselves, but which is appropriate. Yes, apply them to your own life, right? I think probably something happened when our agrarian society, where we had to be connected to one another, yeah, it changed. And we could be by ourselves, and yet these promises reference the togetherness. So here is six examples of second person plural, you all together. There's also a version of here is a promise for each one of you. That is not these, okay? So Matthew 7:7. Okay, I guess I am going to read them to you because it's necessary. Plural, ask and it will be given to you all. Plural, you guys. Seek and you collectively will find. Knock and the door will be open to you all together. John 15:7 and then verse 16. If you remain in me and my words remain in you collectively, you, the body, not just you, Katie, it's true, but it's incomplete. Then ask whatever you wish and it will be done. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all of your cares or your anxieties on him. Oh, that's a very personal scripture. And yet, if you look at the language, it's something that we're called to together. Casting our cares on him together. Not having to keep them close to my heart. It's just between me and God. I'll just lay it out and worship. You can, and you should. But God has intended something united to happen, right? That's where the blessing is. We know it from Psalm 33. And then I'm going to jump right to Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you, collectively, you, plural, will carry it on to completion. I, as a piece of the body of Christ, I need his good work in you to be carried on to completion. We need his good work in our Catholic brothers and sisters, in our Presbyterian brothers and sisters, all the factions, all of the things that have become dividing lines. We need one another to be growing up in maturity because these promises are for his body. And so now here's the thing, is that this kind of a message that God has put in me, I start to ask him, yeah, but what about? Like, there's a lot of whatabouts that you can throw. But what about this and this and this and these things that, I mean, the easy ones, like, should you get baptized in, like, in water or a drop, right? Like, those are the easy ones, and then there's a whole lot of hard ones. I would like to suggest to you that God has given us the ability collectively to dig into those things, to ask those questions, but not to let our identity hinge on those answers. In fact, Jesus tells us that the wheat and the weeds that get planted together will be taken up and sorted out in the end, sorted out in the harvest, right? So if I personally am going to live my life insisting that there is more value in being right and making sure that my theology is right than there is about knowing how much I need to be one with my brothers and sisters, then at the heart of it, I'm not sure my theology is actually right. So, just three scriptures to leave you with, if that would be okay. All right, 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. Adam, you can turn it. Don't you know that you, plural, are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in your midst? For God's temple is sacred and you together are that temple. And in Ephesians chapter 2, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his spirit. I think it's a tremendous thing that in recent years in my own life, and I think in at least in the churches that I'm connected with, there has been a growing message to remember, like, God dwells in you. God has chosen you as I'm a broken vessel, man. And he chooses me, and that's personal, and it's so valuable to know that in the body of Christ. But if I start to think that there's a line that divides me from somebody else, and God's Spirit dwells in me a little bit more, because I'm a little bit more right, that really is, like, it's just not God's heart. He's going to work it all out at the end. I want to know God. I want to be able to love him with all my mind and with all my heart. I want you to be able to love him with all of your mind, all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. So yes, let's dig into things of theology. But God calls us to be walking as one body, one spirit. In fact, last slide, Adam. He tells us to make every effort to keep unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Some translations say, be eager to maintain unity in the body. Be eager to make sure that your role as part of the vascular system, or part of the skin, or part of the bone structure, or the nervous system, your role in it, and those that you're connected with, be eager to maintain unity with all of the other parts that look a whole lot different. In fact, the entirety of that passage, which is where we'll end, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Bearing with one another. Ed said today when he got up there, he had something to share, and he said, bear with me. If you're feeling a little impatient, take a breath and bear with your brother. What's it costing you to bear with him? There's a message out there. I'm glad I get to steal somebody else's words on this one. It's by Francis Chan. And he became part of a collective of people who kind of spontaneously ended up getting together. And they were from very different streams in the body of Christ with some very different beliefs about some things that they were interpreting in Scripture. And he got up at the end and sort of acknowledged how he had to repent of the fact that he would have preferred, prior to those few weeks, prior to God working some of this out in his heart, he would have preferred to not hang out with some of them because they were a little too loud. They clapped a little too much. They yelled a little too much. Yes, Carl, I love your clapping. It's not mine. It's not mine, and yet I need him. And there are times that even if something is uncomfortable to my flesh, I think I don't have to bear with one another. Oh, God is calling us to something more than just knowing him and hungering for personal holiness. Yes, that is part of the gospel, but the kingdom of God requires us together. Yeah. And so there is one body. One Spirit, just as you were called to one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Lord, I'm so grateful that you have birthed in each one of us the fullness of you, the fullness of your DNA is infused in each one of us. God, I'm such a broken vessel. So thank you for that. That's in each one of us. But I also thank you that you have poured yourself out and you have poured your promises out on your body. God, I pray that you would work, not just in our minds, right? Like that comes and goes, but in the depth of our spirit, a hunger for you and a hunger for the unity that you've called your body to. Thank you for this family. Thank you for the even the history that predates me of Wellsville Gospel and the things that this church body has endured and journeyed together. God, I pray that you would position us to be walking this out among our small little congregation of 40, but so that something bigger can be birthed among the body of Christ. I pray that you would be working this in us throughout the week, kneading it in us like the yeast through bread, through dough. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So before the service, I totally forgot to snag some people for prayer. So I need at least 2 men and 2 women. You don't have to be a team or a couple who might be willing to come up and pray for anybody who would like prayer. I'm here, of course, but I've been kind of sick, and so I'll keep a bit of my physical distance. Any volunteers? I've got Ed. You get to be part of the body. No? All right. Well, if you feel inspired to come on up, please come on up. And be blessed. Have a great week. Oh, and hold on. We're done.